In the spring of 1998, six boys called to me from half a century ago on a distant mountain, and I went there. For a few days, I set aside my comfortable life, my business concerns, my life in Rye, New York, and made a pilgrimage to the other side of the world, to a primitive fly-speck island in the Pacific. There, waiting for me, was the mountain the boys had climbed in the midst of a terrible battle half a century earlier. One of them was my father. The mountain was called Suribachi, the island Iwo Jima. The fate of the late 20th and 21st centuries was being forged in blood on that island and others like it. The combatants on either side were kids, kids who had mostly come of age in cultures that resembled those of the 19th century. My young father and his five comrades were typical of these kids. Tired, scared, thirsty, brave, tiny integers in the vast confusion of war-making, trying to do their duty, trying to survive. But something unusual happened to these six. History turned all its focus for 1/400th of a second on them. It froze them in an elegant instant of battle, froze them in a camera lens as they hoisted an American flag on a makeshift pole, their collective image blurred and indistinct, yet unforgettable, became the most recognized, the most reproduced in the history of photography. It gave them a kind of immortality, a faceless immortality. The flag raising in Iwo Jima became a symbol of the island, the mountain, the battle, of World War II, of the highest ideals of the nation, of valor incarnate. It became everything except the salvation of the boys who formed it. For these six, history had a different set of agendas. Three were killed in action in the continuing battle. Of the three survivors, two were overtaken and eventually destroyed, dead of drink and heartbreak. Only one of them managed to live in peace into an advanced age. He achieved this peace by willing the past into a cave of silence. My father, John Henry Bradley, returned home to small-town Wisconsin after the war. He shoved the mementos of his immortality into a few cardboard boxes and hid these in a closet. He married his third-grade sweetheart. He opened a funeral home, fathered eight children, joined the PTA, the Lions, the Elks, and shut out any conversation on the topic of raising the flag on Iwo Jima. When he died in January 1994 in the town of his birth, he might have believed he was taking the unwanted story of his part in the flag-raising with him to the grave, where he apparently felt it belonged. He had trained us as children to deflect the phone call requests for media interviews that never diminished over the years. We were to tell the caller that our father was on a fishing trip, but John Bradley never fished. No copy of the famous photograph hung in our house. When we did manage to extract from him a remark about the incident, his responses were short and simple, and he quickly changed the subject. And this is how we Bradley children grew up. Happily enough, deeply connected to our peaceful, tree-shaded town, but always with a sense of an unsolved mystery somewhere at the edges of the picture. We sensed that the outside world knew something important about him that we would never know. For him, it was a dead issue, a boring topic, but not for the rest of us, me especially. For me, a middle child among the eight, the mystery was tantalizing. I knew from an early age that my father had been some sort of hero. My third-grade school teacher said so. Everybody said so. I hungered to know the heroic part of my dad, but try as I might, I could never get him to tell me about it. "The real heroes of Iwo Jima," he said once, coming as close as he ever would, "are the guys who didn't come back.